mic working here?
Oh, that's right. You're using the lapel. Okay.
I'll just write it. Put it over here. Okay. Wonderful to be with you today on this most significant day. As my PowerPoint is being put up, I always spin off of that because I'm a picture person. If I can see it in a picture, it helps me to visualize what I feel like God's saying to me. And I have shared with you all for the last 3 or 4 months this PowerPoint of the sword coming down into the earth and the prophetic word that the sword of the Lord is moving across the earth.
Yes.
And it is.
Yes, it is.
It is. Has it been moving in your life?
Yes.
Have you felt the clashing of the swords? Sometimes there was a release and sometimes it felt like a cut. Have you been experiencing that? If you haven't, I pray that you do.
Yes, ma'am.
And that it catch up with the season that we're in. I want to share today that about the kingdom gift. Because God wants us at this time to take our position in gifting. We're celebrating the Christmas season. And many times it comes to our minds, okay, what gift am I going to get for somebody? And what gift am I going to get? And how's that worked out for you? It's draining to me. It's exhausting to me. And many times I have visions of what I'm going to get, and it falls short of it. And so I've done a work to release myself from such disappointments. What about you?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Now, when we think about kingdom gifts, what comes to your mind? The gift, God gave you gifts. Every one of you have a significant gift, and it's exciting when you realize what it is. Whether it's an apostle, whether it's a pastor, whether it's an evangelist, whether it's a teacher, whether it is a prophet, whether it's serving, whether it's giving, all of us have a gift. But it's easy to get stuck on a certain type of gift and miss the ultimate gift. And God says, now is the time to take your position of gifting so that you think differently than you've been thinking, so that we eliminate the heartbreak that comes from looking at the wrong way of gifts. He said, I have a gift for you that is for now as well as for eternity. And that means looking with eternal eyes, not carnal eyes. And that's a lot of work. It is a lot of work for me personally. And I don't know whether it is for you or not. But as we move from the last PowerPoint, which was talking about the Jewish calendar, which was 5777, is saying that this year started in September with the Jewish calendar saying, I've got a double portion for you. Now, to get that double portion, we need to be properly positioned. And I want to share this PowerPoint with you that is introducing us to the calendar that we use because we're about to enter 2017. And that seven is representing completion, just like the Jewish calendar. Note in this picture, when I saw it, I thought, yes, I like that. It's standing at a door that is being opened up for each one of us. Me, you, everyone that has ears to hear and eyes to see. And it's opening up to a new realm. Do you want to live in a new realm?
Yes, ma'am.
Where there is more release from the bondages that darkness
yes.
puts on us. And notice around this door are all kinds of gears. Those gears are being put in place because the enemy saw you when you were released on earth, and he saw the tremendous gifts that God had for you, and he said, I'm going to do the best I can to mess it all up. I can't trust Jesus. I can't destroy Jesus. I can't touch Jesus. But if I can touch his kids, mess up their minds, get their minds thinking wrong, get their emotions all messed up, and get their will going the wrong way, and get them looking with carnal eyes rather than eternal eyes, I have done damage to Jesus. And so we get to choose whether or not we enter into this new realm, of truth and spirit that he has for us this year. I'm for it. How about you?
Amen.
He tells us in Ephesians 1:18, his heart for you is that you may know him. That's what gives you stability. That's what gives you peace. That's what gives you hope. That you may know him. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Whether you feel like it or not, what messy thoughts you've had, how discouraged you've been, you are a saint if you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
So pat yourself on the shoulder and say, I'm a saint. And God has tremendous riches that he wants to enjoy through me. He has an inheritance in you that nobody else can give him. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, that's fantastic.
And he says, we are now in the season that the bride cooperates with the line of Judah. The line of Judah roars and takes back the property that Jesus secured on the cross. But he said, I don't want to just slay you. I want you to cooperate with me. I don't want you to have an entitled mentality that this is mine and I deserve the best of everything, or I'm a victim and I'm worthless and there's something inherently wrong with me that can't be changed. We're not to go from one extreme to another, that there's something so bad wrong with me that God can't use me, or I deserve the best, and why has he done this to me? And why do I not have the thing that I think would give me importance? He said, I want you to cooperate with me, my bride, to release my inheritance in you, because it's going to bless you and it's going to change your life. And how did he do that? He did that by coming to this earth in a king-size bed in the lowest place on earth. He didn't say, I've got to be born in a mansion, in a castle, in the richest place. He said, I will go to the lowest place so that I can take authority over everything and provide you everything that you need. So when we look at this picture of the cradle and we see that it is a king-size bed, and Philippians 2, 5, 7, and 8 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who made himself of no reputation. Does it hurt you when people tell lies about you and misunderstand your heart and say that you intended something you didn't intend? It hurts, doesn't it? Hurts very much. But God said, they did the same to me. They didn't recognize that I was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that I created them and the universe. They didn't even recognize me. They told lies about me. And he said, I understand. He made of himself no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men. My mind still can't wrap around that. It can't wrap around the glories of heaven. I guess that's the reason the angels and the saints there are saying, holy, holy, holy. Because they see how magnificent, how ginormous he is. And the fact that he left that to become a man like me and you, a human being. Not just for 33 years, but forever. He extended the family of God, making us sons and daughters like he is of the Father. In that, I just say, God, help me to grasp that. Yeah. If I can grasp it, then I won't be so susceptible to the things that pull me into the undertow. He took the form of a servant, coming in the likeness of man. He humbled himself. Humbled himself. That meant he didn't think he was too good for this or that. He didn't think he deserved this or that. But he knew who he was, and he walked in his Father's presence as a way of life and said only what his Father said and did only what his Father told him to and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. That's our God. And he came and not only secured the gift that never stops giving and is the gift we're looking for and is and modeled the way we're to live. And as far as I can tell, we will be, I know at least I am, struggling to do what he told us to do. When he was here, he told them, the kingdom of God is within you. They didn't get it. They didn't get it. They didn't get hardly anything that he said. I want to get it, don't you?
Yes.
I don't want to get up there and say, oh God, I wish I could have understood that while I was down on earth. It would have made such a difference. So I ask, God, give us revelation.
Yes.
Give us wisdom. Open our eyes. Open our heart. He said, just like here, the kingdom of God is within you. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, the kingdom of God is in you.
Yes, amen. Yes, yes, yes.
And he says, you were released into this world in a kingdom of darkness. And it has affected your spirit. It's affected your soul, and it's affected your body, and it's affected the way you've seen things. So we say, as we say, we don't want to miss it like the disciples did. They thought he was going to set up an earthly kingdom there, overtake the Roman government, and become a king. That's the reason Herod killed a whole bunch of babies, because he thought Jesus was going to take his place. They couldn't see with eternal eyes, and they hurt so many people. And the disciples, when they knew he had come to set up a kingdom, they say, I want to be on the throne with you. Is that humility? No, he says, when you see what I see, you feel what I feel, you'll be delighted to receive the gift I have for you, which is letting me call the shots, letting me open the way, letting me do it my way, and you can almost be assured it won't be what you imagine. It won't be what you dreamed, because he says what I have for you is bigger than anything you can dream up, think about, or imagine, even in your holy imaginations.
Hallelujah.
He said, I want the kingdom of God to be established in you so that those empty places inside are filled up. Because I'm the only one that can fill them up. Those unmet needs will be met because I'm the only one that can meet them. And he said, will you let me do that? Will you let me release the gift of my life, doing it my way, and letting me call the shots? And I know you're here because that's what you want. So we have the opportunity today to receive his gift for us. He has a gift for you in this season when we celebrate his birthday. And I realize that this was not his literal birthday, December the 25th. And many people will teach and prove why it isn't. And that's not the issue. The issue is that we honor the fact that our Heavenly Father looked over the whole eternity, all the galaxies, all the universe, and said, how can I expand my family to have many more sons and daughters like my son and provide a bride for my son? How can I do that? And he said, the way I do it is I lay down the thing that's the most precious to me, my son, and I will kill him so you can live, so that you can receive his gift of life and learn to let him live through you rather than living with your carnal eyes, but to learn to live with eternal eyes. And that is a struggle because the enemy has done a job on all of us. How does he do that job? He does that job by, as the swords clash, the PowerPoint on the left is talking about, this is the year of the ruling sword. Now, when the sword clashes, it is to refine you, to cut away lies that are in your mind, to cut away and cut through between the soul and spirit and show us how we've been ruling our own lives and not realizing it, how we've been in control and not realizing it. Because you see, you this beautiful castle picture on the right, you are his castle. You are the one that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of the universe is dwelling in you. You're his temple.
Yes.
You're his castle.
Yes.
Lord, let us grasp that.
Hallelujah.
And God has made us so wonderfully that none of us know how to trust him from the womb and up to however many years it was when you received him as your Savior. And even when you received him as your Savior, it took me 20 more years after I received him as my Savior to learn how to trust him as a way of life and let his life be my life in and through me, and I'm still working on it hard.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Have you ever heard somebody say, I was talking to such and such and a wall went up? Have you ever felt that? Have you ever seen it?
Seen it.
A wall goes up.
Yep.
Or you felt a wall goes up. What is that wall?
It's
usually a self-protection. You were hurt in some way, sometime. You thought what was happening wasn't for your good, and it might not have been. It might have been a hellacious crime against you. And God has so wired our spirit, soul, and mind that if we don't know how to let the spirit control us, and most of us didn't. Like I say, I was 30 years old before I knew that the spirit of the living God was what was to control me. And I'm still learning, peeling back layers and layers and layers that of walls that I have erected. Those walls start out as being protection. And that's okay. Because if just our soul and our body is controlling us, God doesn't want us to be destroyed, and you put up a wall because maybe there was imminent danger. Maybe there was someone doing a crime against you, and you had to put up a wall to get out of their presence. Or it might have been not quite as severe, but I want you to know the enemy is always looking for a crack so that he can tell you a lie and you can believe a lie or a deception or a hurt so that you put up another wall and another wall and another wall. And when you do that, it ends up over a time putting you in prison. Putting you in prison. Now, this is an extravagant picture of a castle that I tried to find to make my point. And you see up at the top is a picture of a grappling hook that if you are going to penetrate this tremendous castle and you're going to pull down the fortress that keeps those people inside, you have to take a grappling hook and put it underneath, way underneath the wall, and pull out the foundation for that wall in order for it to start to come down. But the person that puts that grappling hook under the wall knows that they will lose their life, because when they pull it, it'll all come down on them and kill them. So whoever does that knows the price they're going to pay. Who pulled out the foundation of our walls for us?
Jesus.
He did that on the cross. He knew why he was coming. He knew he was coming to die for us, so that when we had built walls, those walls in the beginning may have been for protection, but that's where lies grow. That's where deception grows. That's where darkness grows. And before long, you find out that it is not just for self-defense or self-protection, but that you become a prisoner. And the very reason that Jesus died is talked about in Luke 4:18-19. The Spirit of the Lord is up on me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. It is the acceptable year of the Lord.
Yes, ma'am.
For
yes,
you,
ma'am.
Right now.
Yes.
If you will receive his gifts and say, I want to now see with eternal eyes. I want to come out of the prison that I placed myself in. And I want to know and do your will. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds or walls.
Yes.
That we built first to protect ourselves, knowingly or unknowingly. But I want you to know today is the day that God says it's time to pull down some walls.
Hallelujah.
It's time to come out of prison.
Yes, ma'am.
It's time to trust me to a new level.
Hallelujah.
To see with my eyes. Maybe things didn't happen the way you expected them to. And that's true in all of our lives.
Sure.
We didn't expect it to be like this.
Amen.
But he said, have you been trusting me as best you know how? And if you haven't, maybe you've been in rebellion. Are you willing to turn the tables and turn it for good today?
Yes, ma'am.
And if you are, he says, to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ.
Hallelujah.
Every negative thought you have about yourself, I'm not worthy, something's wrong with me, God can't use me, that's a lie. And if you have believed it, you planted it deep inside of you, and it will produce negative fruit. Or if you think you're entitled to things you're not entitled to, and you insist on it, that is equally as destructive. We have to lay it down and say, God, you know best, and I trust you, and I will walk your ways, not my ways, even though I don't know what you're doing. I do not want these things to consume my life. And as a result, if you don't do that, those strongholds will block the kingdom of God in you. You think they're protecting you. No, they're not. They're blocking the kingdom of God in you. And you'll end up being swallowed by the lies, the deception, and the hurt, and the pain. You have to let them go. You have to let them go. And you may be saying, but you just do not know what I've been through. Let me tell you my story. You don't know how bad that hurt. You don't know how much I was rejected. You don't know how I was abandoned. And you're right, I don't. But you know what? Jesus does.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And the picture on the left shows him crying. When it happened to you, tears were running down his face. He said, I did not want that to happen to my sons and daughters. I didn't want that to happen to my precious son's bride. I hurt and I ached. But on the cross, I felt everything they felt. I felt it all. Even stronger than they feel it. Because to some degree we're numb. But he felt it 100%. And he faced it and he embraced it. And he said, there's victory now. I've won it. And he said, that's the only thing that got me through the cross and through the pain was rejoicing when they get it and apply what I did on the cross for them. I will rejoice and all heaven will rejoice because they are now willing to look with eternal eyes and have the carnal scales on their eyes cut off. And that's what an awesome God we serve.
Yes.
So as you look and face to bring down these walls, to bring down these strongholds, this is a critical point. You must face it knowing your God's a good God.
Yes.
He did not do that horrendous thing to you. He wept while it was happening to you. And he said, I had to risk it in order to have sons and daughters for eternity to give them a choice to choose because I didn't want robots for sons and daughters and for the bride of my son. So I had to risk it to give them a choice. But as you look through those people, those things, those circumstances, know that God's at work and he's good. He's good.
Yes,
he didn't do any of that.
Yes,
and he didn't want it done to you.
No.
He says in Psalms 119:68, you are good and you do good. Teach me your statutes. So you, as a way of life, say to your God, you are a good God. And I thank you for how you're working. And to follow the example that he did, we lay down on our own cross. We all have painful things to embrace. None are exempt. And if we walk up those steps to our own cross and we lay down on our own cross and we say, God, you're good. And I lay down my way, the way I see it. And everything I've done that has been wrong or has been done to me wrong, I lay it down. And I say to you, as Job said in Job 13:15, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. Though you slay me, that will I trust you because you're a good God. That makes sense right now. But I'm trusting you that one day I'll see the mighty working of your hand. So, in conclusion, I now say to each one of us, do the hardest thing to receive your gift. To admit that what you feel right now, your despair, your discouragement, your lack of hope, that it's yours. Don't blame anybody else. Don't defend, I did it because. Admit, I'm afraid. I'm angry as hell. I'm ticked off at this and that. Admit it. It's mine. That's what has put me in prison. Admit it. And when we admit it, we are on the road to receiving His gift, making this the best Christmas ever.
Hallelujah.
So therefore, we surrender our past, our present, and our future. And we say, you are a good God, and I give you permission.
Yes.
Now, this is important, because He will do nothing in your life that you don't give Him permission to do. He's a gentleman. And remember, He is fashioning a bride that He wants to partner with. So He says, surrender and give Him permission to do everything you know needs to be done and everything you don't know needs to be done.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Because He knows, and you are then on the first step to victory of making this the best Christmas you've ever had.
Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am.
Receiving a gift that can't be destroyed. Have you had visions of sugar plums in your mind of, oh, I'm going to have all this under the tree, and you open it? Sometimes it looks kind of like you wanted it, and other times you have to put on that plastic smile and say, thank you very much. And then you're thinking about how you can regift it to somebody else next year because you want to get it out of your house. God has a gift for you.
Amen.
That
yes.
You won't want to regift in the wrong way, but you will regift by letting it fill up you inside, and then rivers of living water flow out. Do you want that?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm giving you an assignment, and in the months to come, I'm going to go into more detail, but this is just skimming the surface of strongholds. When you receive Jesus as your Savior, He came in, but there's a lot of work to be done.
Yes, ma'am.
You're headed for heaven, but He says, I need a bride that will cooperate with me on planet Earth, because that's going to affect whether you have peace now or not, and it's going to affect your position for eternity, believe it or not. It's true. So this is an important gift to receive. So I want each one of you to make a list in your private time before the Lord of things that you've been disappointed, hurt about, whether it's the Christmas season or whether it's life. And I want you to write it down. Things that you felt had been unfair, you're ticked about big time, you wish hadn't been, and you want to change it. This is the way you change it. You write it down on a piece of paper. You fold it up and you put it in a box and you say, this is my gift to you. Because you're the God of the impossible.
Amen. Yes.
And I stand with Joseph in the Old Testament. If you're not familiar with the story, read it these 2 weeks. Starting in the 37th chapter of Genesis all the way through 50. God had a wonderful plan for his life, just as he does you, but it didn't look like it, did it? When everybody he loved turned against him, sold him into slavery, you know the story. But he continued to partner with God. And in Genesis 50:20, he said to his brothers, yeah, you meant it for evil, Somebody that abused you might have just been evil and meant it for evil. And that's what Joseph said to his brothers. Yeah, you meant it for evil, but my God's bigger than you. He can do the impossible.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
And he turned it for good. Now I want us to step into that new window, that new realm of greater faith this next year, of believing in the God of the impossible, looking in the invisible, letting him make it a reality in our life, and then I want you to begin to thank him. Thank him for all those things that has made you as mad as spit, that you take out on other people. I ask you to start worshiping him. Put it in the box.
Amen.
Say, God, it's on your plate now. I'm going to start watching how I can cooperate with you. But in the meantime, I'm going to worship you as your bride. What does that mean? Just doing what you're supposed to be doing. Cooking when you don't enjoy cooking. Cleaning when you don't enjoy cleaning. Taking kids places when you don't enjoy taking them. Whatever it is, worship him and say, thank you that I get to serve you this way. And as I'm doing it, I thank you that you're taking care of all those things I put in the box and said, God, you're the God of impossible. And I respond to you with thankfulness. And when you do, I want you to know the strongholds start coming down.
Hallelujah.
Remember this picture, the kingdom of God is within you. And if you're willing to be thankful, give him the things that have hurt you, the people that have hurt you, and ask him to let you see the gold in their life and to fan the flames in that. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't put up appropriate boundaries. If someone has molested you, you'd be a fool to put yourself in a vulnerable situation to let them do it again.
Amen.
But you continue to fan the flames of the kingdom of God within you and being thankful that he can take care of that which you can't take care of. And as he does that, then God arises within you and you are receiving the gift he has for you this year, which is his life, that pays off in time as well as eternity. Game?
Amen.
Father, we thank you that you're in charge and we're not. We've thought we've been in charge many times and then we had to come back and repent because we didn't do it good. And we thought we could work it out. So, Father, I thank you that in this season, Jesus Christ came from the glories of heaven, came to the lowest place anybody could come so he could take us to the highest place to live in another realm with him, embracing and accepting the gift of his life, letting him live in us and through us, that the kingdom of God come to earth and letting others taste of you and seeing how good you are and wanting you. So, Father, we're trusting you to do the impossible because we give ourselves to you to say, do it your way, God. Do it your way. I lay down my way. And I thank you for how you're doing that. I ask that there be an impartation of hope, excitement, revelation, and wisdom upon each one of us today as we soak in your presence and walk in the gift that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.